It is something that goes by many names. A rundown, a run sheet, a cue sheet, a run of show, and I even had someone call it a second sucker. What it is a living document that outlines every minute of an event from opening music to when the stage lights turn off. A run sheet is to event planning what a recipe is to cooking, a step-by-step instruction on how to bake an amazing event. Today, we're talking about a new tool on the scene, a chef's choice, if you will, Rundown Studio. Rundown Studio is a cloud-based software designed for collaborative planning, queuing, and directing of shows and events. It allows users to create and manage detailed rundowns with customized columns, headings, and offers automated queue timing for accuracy and facilitates team collaboration. The platform is tailored to keep event timing on track and organized, and today we're speaking with the creators. Lucas Herman has been a guest before. He's the co-founder of StageTimer.io, one of my favorite event tech tools of the past couple of years. StageTimer goes beyond a simple countdown timer and serves as a crucial tool for precise event timing and seamless segment transitions. Our second guest is John Barker. Many of you know him as the founder of Here to Record. Here to Record offers educational content via their YouTube channel and innovative software development. In fact, some of his software are tools that I use every day. They have H2R gear, H2R graphics, H2R stingers, and then I'm also tuning into his YouTube channel all the time to actually learn how to use ATEMs and other event production equipment. So let's get to it. Lucas, John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Doing fine. Thanks for having us.
Finally, we have you back, Lucas. How excited am I?
We have Lucas back. And Lucas, again, for the 2 years running, Stage Timer was like my top tool of the year, right? It really was. And it still is actually one of my favorites. So any updates coming along the way that we should know about before we dive into the actual reason why we're here?
Absolutely. So just to drop a word kind of for people maybe that have never heard Stage Timer, I usually explain it like this. If you have ever seen a TED event and there's this red clock right in front of the presenter and it counts down 25 minutes, that's when they know when they have to stop. And we build a clock like this, not that one, but like this. And you can tell your presenter on stage, this is how much time you have left, and give them a message, maybe show it, flash it, draw their attention. Communicate better than the traditional way of holding up the paper sign. Who hasn't done that, right? Standing in the back, the paper sign, the arm wiggling, and nothing happens. So that's what we are trying to replace with our tool.
Yeah, Tess, you know that. You got the hook. But that is awesome. And everyone out there on the planner side, one of the things we try to do is bring planners into the tech side, right? Because planners are tech phobic, with good reasons, right? It's always been like this serious, mysterious world, and which is why I love the both of you, because you actually are creating tools that bridge the gap, right? That can be used from either side of the event equation. And John, I'm so actually happy that you're here because you guys have actually created one of the, it's probably going to end up being, if not my top new event tech tool of the year, it's going to be really close.
Well, I'm just going to claim it. Then I'm taking it.
There you go. But Rundown Studio, for planners, this is your run of show, right? For tech guys, this gets you away from Excel. But I'm actually going to let Lucas and John explain what it is so that we can get into some really good questions about this tool and why it's important for meeting an event, folks.
Yeah. And layers on top of that, everyone in the world knows I'm focused on execution and day of. So that's why this is my baby.
So I was just going to steal one line from John. We have been building this tool together starting last year, and John kind of brought me into it kicking and screaming, right? And he does, he has a vision, and he does a way better job in explaining what it does, so I will give the word to him.
That's it. That's the intro that you're going to give me, Lucas. That's John made me do this thing, and now here
Oh, I love it. Y'all are solid. Like Keith and I.
Tess, you want to do this?
No, he's like, Tess, I put you in this. That's it. I'm like, okay.
I love it. Yeah, so the idea behind building Rundown Studio, Lucas very much sums up Stage Timer pretty well by saying, you know, it's on that screen in front of the presenter telling them to basically stop talking. Whereas what we wanted to build with Rundown Studio was sort of what the people behind the scenes are using to decide who's coming up next, you know, what happens in an hour's time, what needs to be cancelled later and needs to be brought forward. So basically the run of show, rundown software, there's a lot of different terms that people have thrown out there before, and people have used a lot of different tools before to do this exact thing, from Google Sheets to pen and paper to Excel documents, all these different ways that get out of sync. Maybe you print the PDF on the start of day one, and by the end of day two, that PDF has just been torn apart in every different direction. So with Lucas's timing abilities and my want to build tools just like this, we decided on building the, you know, online version of that, something that syncs everywhere on the cloud. You can build outputs for people so that whether you're techie and you want to see all the versions of all the columns, or you're not at all and you want to just see like what is happening next, that's all I care about, then we wanted to cover all of those bases. And I think within, you know, a year of building, 6 to 8 months of launch, we've gotten many features in there and we have a long list of features to go. But we can do a demo, or we can jump into anything I wasn't clear about already.
Well, I think before we hop into the demo, you know, planners, you know, a lot of them end up at the tech table and looking over the shoulder, and they're all going to know this scene, right? The scene is they work really hard to create a run of show, or what they would consider a run of show, and they use Excel for the most part. Then they're going to hand it off to the production team or whatever, and they're going to add timings and cues and all this great stuff, and, you know, what video asset goes where. And then someone is going to send that off to 4 other people that are going to be working the show, or 10 other people, however many it is. And on the day of, where everything's going to go great, except for the video guy didn't get the latest update. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you know, everyone is on the same page except for that one person. You know, or what happens is, you know, people are scribbling on the, because they're printed copies and they're all sitting there. You know, one of the events we did not too long ago, we had these big 11 inch by 17 inch, I don't know what that is in metric, but it's big, pieces of paper. And, you know, everyone was scribbling, where I think before we dive in and we actually show people the tool, it's one source of truth, right? You know, if a planner doesn't want to be in the weeds with everything in there, like you said, you can send the link and they can see what's coming up. And if there was something that didn't get translated or didn't get put in there, they're going to know. And they're going to be able to mention it to somebody. You know, all the guys at the table are on the same page. You know, much like on the event management side, the Joy software that we love so much, that is, it's one source of truth. Everything is coming out of one particular, you know, one piece of software, so everyone's on the same page at all times. And sorry, I just ate up way too much of everybody's time just pontificating.
No, but I think it's important, though, that we have a discussion around it, because it's really around the mindset of things, right? Because we're not only talking to just, you know, planners who are novice on the tech side, we're also talking to people who actually run shows, and this tool would be magnificent for them to kind of relieve them of all the angst that they've been having, where it's, I do it my way and it's this way and I need to see it like this, and then you do it that way. But I think also, most importantly, John, the exciting thing to me is that now we can begin education to the planner around where they truly fit in the pie and how they don't need to be so far off anymore. I think it also can help inform how they choose to plan next time, if they're actually, you know, if they're using it, the tool properly. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's really fair. And a lot of the people I've worked with, the show callers that I've worked with so far using Rundown Studio, the way that they are trying to integrate it into their workflows is they let their producers or the people who plan the show work in whatever tool they're comfortable with, and then pull it into Rundown Studio, right? Maybe the day before or the few days before the show. that was a few months ago, but now just working on a show this week, I found that it's starting to creep into that pre-production a bit more, where the show caller actually gave full access to the Rundown studio project to basically everybody on the team about 2-3 weeks before the event, and now they're bringing in the data a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier. So what we think is quite nice about it is that we have an import tool, so you can pull in CSV from whatever tool you are already comfortable with. But maybe as you get, you know, a bit more comfortable with Rundown Studio, you can start that in the process a bit earlier. And then eventually the plan being that you never actually have to use any other tool at all. But if you're not comfortable with that, then there's a way to work in the meantime.
Okay.
Well, and I do want to get us to, you know, taking a look at it. But for planners, I think, you know, planning has changed, right? It's, you know, planners need to be a little bit more... have a little bit more tech know-how, they need to be involved in this, right? Shows, because technology keeps going like this, shows, even simple shows, are getting more complicated, right? You've got video and stingers and you know, all of this stuff that a very small show wouldn't have had 10 years ago. But because technology now allows us to create these things so quickly and easily, they can make a small show seem absolutely amazing, but you need tools like Rundown Studio in order to make them happen. Yeah. But let's go ahead and take a look at it.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Cool. Let me see how well my screen sharing abilities go. Already off to a bad start as I find the right window.
I don't know. You know, people know we were in here before we actually started recording and it worked perfect. There we go.
So what you're looking at here actually is something I built in Google Sheets and then just downloaded and imported as CSV just 10 minutes ago. And a lot of, you know, example data and all that good stuff. But pretty quickly, I can see the queues, as we call them. Each one of these is a queue, and that usually holds a piece of information about what's happening at that point in time. And then if it's a time-based queue, then it will have a duration for that. The start time for this show is at 9 a.m. and then the end time I've set to be 11:30 a.m., which is effectively the sum of all the queues that are in here, each one being, you know, 20, 15 minutes. And this is a fairly average, like, 2-3 hour webinar or something along those lines. So that's from top to bottom. And then looking left to right, what we have is what I would consider more departmental. The end time is just something as an overhang from the import, but beyond that, we have like something for our hosts and our guests, or maybe something for the location. You know, we want to know if this is in the studio or if it's on location or something like that. And then we have GFX and VT in this example. VT being exactly what you mentioned a few minutes ago there, where the VT person didn't have the name of the final file _final_v2, and they played the wrong one. Well, yeah. Ideally, someone's up
there. Well, let's pause right
rundown.
There, John. Let's, sure. let's define our acronyms for those who are not in our world.
That is very
wait.
True.
Which one are we translating?
I think we need to do GFX first, then VT.
Absolutely. So GFX typically is the abbreviation. Oh, what's the word? I always forget the difference. It's more of a shortening of the word graphics. I don't think it's abbreviation. Is it abbreviation, that one? I always mix the two up. And then VT is sort of an overhang from some old broadcast terms, VT being videotape or video playback, basically playing a video during a production or a broadcast. What else? We have LT down here as well, which is lower third. So typically the name that comes down here. I should have my graphics software up and running on my camera right now so I could actually show you that, but I don't. So that is three. I think I went pretty easy on the terms in this one, so I'm glad I didn't add too many more that I need to explain, but fair, absolutely.
Well, you know, and this is stuff they don't teach, right? At least I don't think they do in like the meeting planner school, right? But these are terms these are everyday terms that your tech crew is throwing around, right? And it really does help, you know, if you actually understand. You don't have to know what each and everything is. And for planners, they don't need to know how all the machinery works, but they should know what each thing does. Exactly. That way they at least have a little bit of knowledge. And, you know, we were talking about the file name, and get your file naming under control. There should be never video final, 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 V2 final. You know, we actually, up until the morning of the show, actually ours, they're all V1, V2, whatever. And then the final one, which you don't name until the morning of, is broadcast.
Yeah.
That way there is no confusion whatsoever. And we don't have broadcast V1, V2. So sorry to interrupt.
No, actually, on that point, because I am always worried about those kind of terms, and there's been plenty of times where I've been caught on a show, and after years of doing it, someone mentions a term, and I'm like, I don't know what you're... Sometimes you don't want to ask, but you kind of have to. Anyway, we just published a post, like, yesterday, at the very bottom of which we have added... It's a show calling 101, and we've added a little bonus show lingo term here. So... lots of little terms that I've heard over the years that make sense when you know them and don't make any sense when you don't.
I love it. So what we'll do, we'll put that link in our show notes for them.
Oh, yeah, that should actually just be required reading. Yeah.
There you go.
I've got a question. Mm-hmm. So are you actually pushing the graphics and videos out from here, or is this just the rundown?
This is just the rundown. Of course, we have lots of different ideas for the future, but right now what we wanted to build was like the easiest and simplest tool of this kind of structure. And we have so many ideas to get that right that we are, you know, way down the path. If we even want to get to pushing stuff out, we might get there. So right now it's sort of like the information hub as opposed to triggering or anything like that.
Yeah, and I want everyone to know, I don't actually mean that as a bad thing, right? Sometimes this is exactly the tool that's needed, and right now this is actually the tool that is needed.
Exactly, and I personally, you know, I don't know what you consider, but I just love it, and this is, to me, one of the major problems in our industry on the event tech side, is big boys come and take over and... great tech is gobbled up and goes dark when it was a tool that solved a problem, which is why tech exists to begin with. So I'm advocating around, you do this well, please just keep doing this and expanding everything around this. You don't need to be everything to everyone, because to me, again, the reason that you create it can get lost. So this is, to me, amazing.
Good.
Actually, let me mention something about that. From the beginning, we kind of talked, how do we want to build it? Do we want to do the startup route, or do we want to go bootstrapping? And we decided both. We want to do bootstrapping. Bootstrapping meaning financing it with our own means, not getting outside investment. At the same time, keeping complete kind of control, right, of the project. And I think both John and I, we really have a love for the product. We have a love for making a job easier to a person that uses our tool. So there's no plan like to exit in 5 years or to, you know, go public or to this and this or to like push artificially our numbers to grow. It's like growing it slowly, making it so people can use it and are happy with the tool is really the goal at this point.
Thank you. And we got that on recording, everybody. We got it on recording.
And I don't want to keep tooting both your horns, but I mean, every product that I've actually seen come from the both of you has actually been easy to use and something that I actually use quite often. Right. You know, like Stage Timer. Absolutely. Right. And then you go with H2R gear. That is actually one of my favorite pieces of tech. Right. I know exactly what cables I'm bringing. And we, you know, that's for another episode. But again, you guys have kind of done it again. Right. This is easy enough that anyone, regardless of their technical know-how, can actually understand what's going on. And I love the cool thing is, you know, and I know you probably still have more to, but, you know, as this thing is playing, you can actually, you know exactly where you are throughout the day, which can get crazy. I've seen people look out at the Excel sheet and go, where are we? Yeah,
I've done it.
So, sorry.
We're constantly scrolling over.
I've done it myself plenty of times. And I think that's one of the weird things about Lucas and I is like, I've been on... hundreds of shows, done this many times. Lucas has not. And so the two of us can come at this from very different angles, where I'll try to get something in there and he's saying, like, what is that? Why would you even need that? So it's a nice marriage between... No, we're not married. It's a nice mix between, you know, the person who's out there doing it and the person who's not. And hopefully those two things meet somewhere in the middle where people can understand it, but also pros can actually use it.
Yeah, I love it. So tell us, just show us. Okay, Oliver Sutton, the panel discussion needs to be moved back an hour because the speaker flew in late and then we had a medical emergency.
Exactly. What? So we have.
I don't want to work on your shows if all that's happening.
I'm stressed out just thinking about it, but I'm going to do it anyway. So we have this panel discussion here that we, let's say the speaker who was going to be a part of that, is coming in later. So you can just drag things, rearrange them. Maybe it's coming in a bit like this. Maybe we're going to pull the audience Q&A up into this section. We can rename any of these. We can maybe make the audience Q&A a bit longer to fill some time, 35 minutes instead. And now that will shuffle ahead all of the start and end times, and we'll let you rebuild your show as it happens, not just up until showtime, but you know, you can be changing things later in the day that whenever the show's running earlier in the rundown. So all this stuff is, you know, nothing's locked in. And you can see here now, something that was pretty important to a lot of people that we talked to was we need to start on time and we need to end on time. And I added 20 minutes of programming there to this rundown. And you can see on the top corner that now we're over under, we're 20 minutes late. So we will need to pull time from somewhere within our rundown to do that. So maybe we decide.
Is that not the most brilliant thing in the world?
Skip this panel discussion altogether, deletes it, and now we're back running on time again, so you can actually end at 11:30 as you planned.
That's the boom. That is the boom.
Well, and I always, you know, one of the things, and this actually, this happens at pretty much every show, right? You know, you're there. The audience hasn't filed in yet. They're still out in the lobby, you know, eating their scones and, you know, chatting away. And so you end up starting 5 minutes late. And, you know, you'll ask the client, you know, are we going to run over? Or do you still want to end on time? Well, this makes it easy for the whole everybody to know exactly what's happening. If they go, oh, we can just run over, well, no harm, no foul, just change your start time and everything changes. Or, you know, if you need to cut that time, it's easy to do it. But then absolutely everyone is on the same page, right? There's no more, you know, guys with their Sharpies, and then you have the one guy with the broken pencil that's, you know, scratching it out. You know, we've all been there. Now, one of the coolest things that I've found with this are the views, right? Mm-hmm. And how you can actually share that out and share it to other people who might be involved in the event, from the people at the table all the way to the planner who sits in the corner, you know, biting his or her nails because they're stressed over the whole thing.
That is a good segue into something we've actually released today. So we've changed the views, but not for the bad. Hopefully, maybe you'll think otherwise since you like them so much. we have a few different ways of getting data to people, right? So we have an export PDF, which is the old school way, but sometimes people really want a way of seeing this and printing it out. We're going to skip that because it's not as important. We also have invite guests, which like we said before, we're not really motivated to like squeeze every last penny out of people. We are quite interested in you building a team within Rundown Studio that you use and work with all the time. And then you come in to a show and you have 50 freelancers. Do you really want to pay 50 times whatever our price is to get all them all involved? No, you don't. So we decided this guest mode, which lets people see certain things or completely read and write everything. You can just give them full access and they can just do whatever they want to the show, with your permission, of course. So that's sharing those links looks just like this, where they can see the rundown as you can see it here on my screen. But then we have the output side of things, which is something that's much more customizable, and like I said, today got even more customizable. And what we have built is a way of visualizing the entire show in a, this is a typical, you know, list mode of output. If I just open it up here, you'll see that it lists all of my cues, one after the other, and it's a bit more what I would consider iPad friendly. You know, this is the one I've had up on the iPad, and it does auto track along. I'll show you that in a second. As the show unfolds, it keeps following down. But it's very much a simplified view of the rundown itself. And if I head back over again, we can change things completely, which is more of like the, you know, the downstage monitor, the screen that the presenter can see, or maybe something you put up on in the production booth, something that's much more stripped down. What is happening right now? Maybe what's happening next? And if you see on the right-hand side here, I'm not going to delve too deep into it because we have it documented over on the site, but we've added all these fun ways of really customizing it to be whatever way you want it to be. So for example, if I wanted to, in fact, I'll just open it up just so you can see what it looks like right now. It has a really big text. It has the sort of what's happening right now, and it has this top bar which shows some bits and pieces. But maybe you want to change this logo. Maybe you want to hide the time of day. Maybe you want to completely hide this top bar. Then we've built a easy enough way to do that. What we found again and again with my tools, with Lucas's tools, is people in our industry, if you give them tools and decent documentation, they will sit all day and they will make it work. And I find that time and time again with all these things. So that's why we went for this option, documented it heavily, and we know that people will just say, okay, I want this here, I want to remove that, and that's how they can do it.
Yes, and we've seen that with the Elgato Stream Deck. It's like yeah. It came out and everybody and their brother was like, ooh, we can make it do this.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, of course, Companion.
And I want to point out to everyone, I don't know if you all paid attention, he did not move from his screen to get back to the actual tech. He clicked on every option that he wanted, and that's good UX user experience.
Nice.
So I don't have to go from one tab to the other. He wanted it, he clicked it. Okay, sorry, that's a test geek thing.
Love it. which just leaves, I suppose, running the actual show. So showtime comes, a nice big play button that lets you start the show. And what happens from there is everyone who has this page open or the output page, which I think I still have open. Yeah, here it is. It'll just follow along with the show as it runs. You can see I have a 10-minute segment. Maybe the next segment is not 35 minutes, but 5 seconds just to make it a little bit easier for demo purposes. If I jump to the next queue, it will play that queue, and you can see the progress bar going through. The last 5 seconds we have light up here just to let everyone know this thing is ending very soon. And then we flash when things are over. And as we talked about before, if your show is over or under, it starts to either add to or eat into that time. So you know right now, I just messed with the timings there. I know, but I have 44 minutes extra of show to make up here. So I could just let this audience Q&A run for 44 minutes if I wanted, or I can, you know, add time later in the show. It's all constantly figuring out where you are, what's coming up, and what time you need to make available or use up in order to get your show back on time.
So I have a question just about just that in general. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about over and under, is that data being recorded anywhere? Like if I ever had to come back and quote unquote see a report and say, how long was this show last year? How long did it run? Were we over or under? Or how do I need to improve for the future? Does that data stay for me to be able
Absolutely.
To use that?
I'm just skipping ahead a few cues here and I'm going to scroll back and you can see that we have basically a receipt for each item. So the audience Q&A was supposed to be 5
receipts.
Seconds.
No, I'm just sorry.
Okay.
You walked me right into that one, Sean.
I didn't even know that.
That's fairly new.
Okay.
So what we have up here and like this, how is this time calculated? I'll just zoom in a little bit because my brain doesn't work very well with mental mass. Definitely not during a show. So I wanted to add this in here to say, like, what's going on? So you could look back in a year's time and say, okay, well, we were supposed to start at 9, and it looks like we finished 1 hour 43 minutes early. Something went terribly wrong, obviously. But you could also say, yeah, the CEO was supposed to talk for 10 minutes and they only talked for 21 seconds. We've got to get them more stuff to say next year.
We
so
know
as long
that's
as you don't delete
real.
This, yeah, it's quite the opposite, right?
Never happens.
Never happens.
That. Never.
We don't actively delete that. It's just going to stay there, and you can look back and say, "Oh yeah, this is the receipt," as I like to call it.
Okay, so that is worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. That's why I wanted to explore it, because it's like, again, you all create beautiful tech, and that's, you know, that's where you, it's almost like I can trust any iterations that are coming down the roadmap with you. I can trust that you're going to create even more things to make my life happy.
Hope so.
Okay, I'm stop. I'm gonna get off.
So what are some other things that, what am I not asking? Because this is like one of those things, right? Like, you know, we've all seen the Simpsons episode, you know, Take My Money, you know, or whatever that was, you know, the second I saw it and just, I, you know, I've known the products you guys have created. So the second it came out, I was like, ooh, right. And, you know, I'll jump right into it to whatever, you know, what are some other things that we should be aware of in here? Because as it stands, like as you just explained it, it's perfect, right? There really isn't that last thing that I didn't even know about the receipts, you know, to look it back at, you know, how long something actually let, that was like the icing on the cake. You know, but what else is in here that we might want to know about, or maybe something for, you know, more advanced?
Sure. I have
folks.
Two things that come to mind that I wanted to throw in there is that these, what we call cells here, because it's very much, you know, like spreadsheety style, you know, rows and columns, right? These are pretty heavily editable in terms of style and how they look. So I know that a lot of people
color
absolutely love colors, which is fair. So if you always have a color for your host, you always use red, then people use this a ton. I was just on a show this week and it was like RGB overload, but that's fine because that worked for them. So you can go crazy in the cells. And if you want, this is a feature people really love, especially for their camera operators who have no idea who to follow. They just know that someone's name. You can throw images in there as well. So here's a weird looking photo of me.
Stop!
What?
Stop!
So I just dropped that from my desktop here. So you could throw in a picture of like guest one and two, so everyone knows what they look like and they can get a nice shot of them. But one of the things that we're always keen on is that there's not one person that has all the information, right? So back to the invite guests thing before, what I can do is say, well, I want my graphics operator to not see anything to do with video, anything to do with the location. They can just see the hosts and get GFX. But I also want them to edit that as well because they hold the information. So I'll set that so that they can edit it. And if I open that tab or that window up then and share it with them, what you can see here is they can see the hosts and the guests. But if they want, they can also go through and make changes to the places that you allow them to make changes to, but not necessarily other places. Oh, and I realize that I need to open this in a new window to see that, but you'll have to trust me. Because I can't share the new window as well. Whenever you open that up, they can just access certain parts of the information, but they can't mess with your show in general. They can just add the things that you want them to add, and then during the show, they can see the details they've added in there. So those are two ways of
working
with people.
Now, could I see the details that they added in there?
Yes, as long as you have access to that column.
Yeah, so I would have access, overall access to everything. They gotcha.
So,
oh my god,
so here. Here's the weird law of unintended consequences. Because this is actually the way it should be, right? The graphics guy should see the graphics. He doesn't need all the other crap. For so long, they've gotten the other crap that when they don't see it, they're going to be like, wait, where's the rest of it?
That's true. And what's nice about this is that you can make sure they see everything, which I understand completely, but that they can only edit what they actually should edit, which is specific column.
As a developer in the team, I just want to mention, like, the way we do this is it encodes all this information in the link. So you can literally create one link per person And this link cannot be tampered with. Like it's signed, you know, so you can just give these links out. Every link is a little bit different, has different permissions. They don't expire, or you can make them expire if you want to. There's even this quick access code, you know, if somebody is on an iPhone, on an iPad, and they cannot, you know, how do you get this link to me? Like, oh, you know, WhatsApp, whatever, don't have it. So you just give them this like 6-digit number that they can type into their app, and they get this.
Stop!
This exact stuff that you just selected.
See, I told you, didn't I just say I could trust them? I could trust them.
Feel trusted.
Oh yeah, this is magical. Okay, so I'm gonna ask the avert. Like, okay, I'm a planner, and you know this black screen thing. Can I change my theme to white? Because I need to have it white, even though I love black screen. I only want it black, right? But can I do that? Because this just looks strange. This is, you know, that's all the AV tech people.
That's a good question. I actually have a maybe answer to that. If I can give a maybe answer, What we just added on our outputs is the ability to set a background color for the output. So you could, in theory, I don't know how well the text is going to show up. I can try it now and see, and I can improve it later. But that's the good thing about us being on here, is that I can improve it later. But if I change it to white, I have some work to do there, as you can see. But
yeah. But theoretically,
I can make it like you could definitely do that. So if somebody really wants, what I did this for is for a more like a chroma key green, maybe. So you could set it up to be green, and then easier.
Gotcha.
As an example. Right? You can actually read the data too. So if they want a different color, then yeah, sure. There you go.
Okay.
But Tess, we're not going to allow anyone to do that.
No. I only like black things personally, but I just know, you know, people have a tendency to,
yeah,
you know, want that kind of stuff.
Wait, that's not true. You like me.
Well, yeah. That's true.
All right, there was my joke for the day.
There's a bit of a joke among the developers that the first thing everybody wants to add is the black mode, white mode of their website, but nobody really cares about that. People just want to use the tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is.
I mean,
kind of
I love
true.
It. I personally love that you started off with black, because that's just the world that we live in. We like it that way, and they need to conform to us.
Well, could you imagine in Techland? If all the screens were white,
oh my God.
It would be like this big glowing orb in the back of the room.
Yeah. And that's the thing. People use Google Sheets for this so much, for this kind of run of show document. And it's just, it hurts.
It really does. You know, when the rest of the room is dark and you're sitting there with that bright light, it's, you know, so planners, that's why the people at the tech table like everything dark. It's because it doesn't kill our eyes.
Let's talk about version control for just 1 second, just, you know, in case someone's kind of thinking it from that perspective. I've imported my run of show version 3, if you will. And if I need to, for some reason, I don't know why anyone would not work in here. But let's just think that the novice, they're just starting out. They're not quite sure. So they've upload version 3, but then somebody out there is working on a 4, and they're like, "Darn it! What the heck?" And it's long and it's cumbersome in Excel or Google Sheets, and it'll just be daunting to me to have to go in here and look at a sheet and change what it is. And then I said, "Well, you know what? I need to upload version 4 to make it easier on myself, and then cuss them out, and then just say, didn't I tell you we're only working here?" How do I handle that? Or is there like a, does it, again, just help me through that.
So you may have some good feature requests there. First of all, we haven't, I don't think we've explored version control heavily yet. One way I think we currently could work around that is we have these, what we call the rundown status. And like I said, I imported this one earlier. So this one is set up as imported, since it was imported. But we have these other ones, draft, awaiting data, approved, finalized, rejected. So in that case,
nice.
What I would do is just reject this one if it was V2, and then pull in V3 and consider it to be like approved or finalized.
Oh, I like that. Hmm? I actually like that better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, again, this is when tech can't solve process problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And if, and we all have that one person that just goes off and does their own thing, right? The, you know, but that's actually a process issue. You know, that's a, you know, you know, and
it's also a fear issue, I would say.
Yeah, but, you know, but like you said, that person comes in. See, now the way that I would handle that is, okay, you've updated that. You were told to use this. Guess what? You have to go in here and you have to now make all the changes by hand.
Exactly. I would too. No, and I was glad I asked that question for several reasons. And the third one you covered, which is showing, because I wanted you to talk about the imported, because I love that. I thought that was awesome. So can you go back just one more second? And I know we'll probably run out of time soon, but to the approved area, how is the awaiting data work? Again, I don't want to assume anything.
No, these are just labels, effectively. So you and your team would decide sort of what awaiting data means to you.
Okay.
So we don't actually... It's one of those things we've been thinking about, actually, from the start, is how much of the process do we want to get involved in versus just giving people nudges towards it. So at this point, it's just...
And this is a nudge towards it. But I love it. Well, I think it's amazing. Because it informs the user.
I would like to put this a little bit into context. Like, we are two dudes, and we have been working on this for, what is it now, six months. So you can imagine, there's a bit of a room still, you know, to grow. And we really are interested. Like, if people use it and they give us feedback and tell us, you know, that's how we used it, and we need this, or this didn't quite work out, or we really need to, we listen, and we take it serious, and we try to build a good tool. So... you know, fast forward 2 years, you're going to have much more to look forward to.
Well, but this is actually this you guys get right what every other event tech company gets wrong. And here's what you do right. You have a person who's on the event side and someone who didn't natively come from the industry, right? This is somebody who kind of fell into it. And together, you can make amazingly useful products because you have two totally different ways of thinking, mm-hmm. right? Where John, you can say, well, this is the way it's always been done. And Lucas, that's when you go, huh? Well, it'd be much easier if you did it this way. And then the light bulb goes off. But then to your point, you know, to Lucas, what maybe you might say something and John will go, that'll never fly because you have to do these things in this order, however it is. Most event tech companies don't have anyone on the planning side that are there. They're typically just tech folks that have created, you know, amazing things, but planners don't use them or planners can't use them because it just doesn't fit in the way that things work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes you guys very successful. So please don't change that. There you go. That was my whole thought on that.
I agree.
Okay. So guys, in a nutshell, a couple of things. What do you see coming down the pike for the future? Maybe that one thing that you think is necessary. And then also, what is your pricing model?
I will say something that's coming up soon. Companion module, official companion module, something that we've always wanted to build from the start. I mean, I say that as if we've been doing this for years, but yeah, we wanted to make a proper module for Companion, which is coming soon-ish, in order to take full control of the show. I know from working with people and doing shows myself, it's the first question people ask is like, oh, that's good. Is there a Companion module? So we're really quite keen and excited to get that.
So John,
and for the planners out there, for the planners out there, companion. Now wait, John, did you develop Companion?
No, I get that a lot. My face is on the website. Right. I made a video about it
because he's a superstar.
Basically, I think I've done like one possible line of code at one point, but I've done nothing.
Okay, so but you're in there, right? Yeah. But Companion is an amazing piece of software that allows you to connect. And I'll make this easy for planners, to connect all of the stuff at the tech table together so that you can operate it by buttons on an Elgato Stream Deck, which is just a little touchpad. It's like a hotkeys. And it is probably one of the most useful pieces of basically free software that has ever been created.
Boom!
Because you can find all kinds of stupid things you can connect. You can connect the link. I mean, it's great for the tech table, but you can connect like lights in your office. But that is Companion in a nutshell.
Yeah. That's cool. And pricing model. How does it, great. Is it going to cost me an arm and a leg? Can I really afford to put in my budget? Because it sure does solve a whole bunch of stuff.
We take livers.
Exactly. Oh, nice. Nice. You know, Keith said he was giving you his for me.
Oh, man. All I have is a kidney.
Heck.
Sorry. Go ahead, George.
We're keen to cover all as many bases as we can. That's the idea. Like, it doesn't have to be a massive yearly bill that comes on your lap. Because I have been running my own production company for years as a solo person, and I know that many of the other tools out there, I wouldn't even look at the pricing, never mind be able to afford it for shows. So we're keen to cover as much as we can for people. So we have a event-based price, which is effectively, for the next 10 days, you get access to all of the features that we've talked about, all the full pro paid features, however you want to put it, which is perfect for people that just want to use it for the next 10 days. They have a big show once a year, and they don't have to pay constantly for it. And then we have monthly and yearly as well pricing options for those who definitely will use it for way more than, you know, a couple of shows a year. And then there's people who just want it for the next 6 months because they have a busy period and they have lots of clients to work for. So I think with those three options, we've kind of covered things nicely for small, medium, and hopefully large companies as well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That was great.
That's simple. I love the simplicity.
Yeah, and as a third party planner, right? You know, you've given me options, right? You know, I can, you know, am I going to do the big yearly package? No, probably not, because we're pretty transparent with our clients. So my clients can actually come in and do the one time, you know, or, you know, monthly if you're planning a couple of months out. I this is one of the things that when I actually did go through and I did look at the pricing, you know, it was one of those things where it was kind of like refreshing, right? It was like, oh, all right, I know exactly what this is going
to
cost.
You're not like, come on, go ahead and reveal it to me.
Well, and it's also not like there's one event tech company I'm working with right now that it's like they're nickel and diming people to absolute death. It's,
what
you know,
that way.
Oh, you want to add 100 more speaker uploads? That's another $2,000. It's like, you're just storing it on AWS.
Yeah. No skin off my back, right?
Exactly. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. You know, this is a tool I hope that every planner at least takes a look at, because no matter what type of event you do, even if it's a single evening event, a luncheon event, you know, all the way up to a multi-day conference, this is something that will actually make your life easier, and it will, and not only easier, it'll actually make your job, it'll make your production better.
Absolutely. And it does not, and I want to also speak from, you know, I love to do on-site and execution. I mean, think about use case for it. If I have to go on-site and work for a client and I don't have anything to do with the AV side of things per se, right? I can still utilize it to guide my entire program, right? I can get people who are involved in it, and they may not have to be just only the production company, it can be others as well. So kind of think outside the box how the tool can solve some of the challenges. And the bottom line about this is about productivity and communication, communicating out to others what's going on, and the nimbleness of moving your program forward. So any final words? So Lucas, share some wisdom, and then John, I want you to share some wisdom as well. Remember, we're the event tech pull up, so we're really excited about you pulling up with us.
John, you want to say?
What I was going to say is, if you out there want to use the tool, and you try it out for a while, and you think, well, it's good, but it would be great if it had that one little thing. Keep in mind that we are just two people building this, but we're building it fast and we're taking on feedback fast. I just spoke with someone last week who said, I will use it for my show. It's just a shame it doesn't have this thing. And we published that thing today for them to use on their show next week. So we are literally watching the inbox, waiting for people to give us feedback and then adding those features as fast as we can if they make sense in the overall scheme. So, you know, come to it, find a feature that would be just perfect for it, let us know, and it's possible that we could have that in there in a timely manner. You won't have to wait potentially months or years for someone to reject the feature idea.
And Lucas?
Yeah, and like last week, I talked to one of my customers from StageTimer, and I've been really working on this tool for 3 years now, and I've been diligently really trying to keep it simple to use for the first-time user as much as really versatile for the person that runs their 100th show, you know. And I asked them, what feature do you, like, if you had one feature request, what would it be? And their answer was, you know, we do have stuff on our list here, but we are almost afraid to say it because your tool is so simple and so straightforward. We just love to keep it that way. And I found it such a beautiful confirmation because we both really strive to build simple, approachable tools for everybody. And I'm pretty happy that, like, so far, as John said, you know, approach us, tell us what you need, and we are pretty flexible.
Absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. Oh, I was going to say, well, gentlemen, I appreciate you. I've said it throughout time, and I probably continue to say it in the future. And, you know, just keep going, you know, keep going. So many we've gotten lost to really great, simple tools to make our life easier. And I know that you're not going to actually get lost in the weeds. So thank you so much for being here on the VentTech Bullet.
Keith, Tess, thanks for having us. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was. Thanks.